like you said, my name is Kelby Murphy. I'm a graduate student in public health at the University of Alaska Anchorage. And my talk today is titled Health Literacy and Cancer Communication with Alaskan Women. And I'll be talking about highlights from our pilot study. And Dr. Johnson, who's with me today in the audience, we have no financial relationships to disclose. So I'll start with some key terms, background on health literacy and cultural competence, and then I'll go into detail about our pilot study, objectives, assessment tools, study findings, outcomes of the pilot study, and then I'll finish with what we're looking at for the future. So what is health literacy? We're hearing about this more and more. There are many definitions of health literacy, but the one that's cited in Healthy People 2010 is defined as the degree to which people have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic information and services that they need to make appropriate health decisions. So that's kind of a lengthy definition, but really, when you apply that, it really means it involves the diverse ways in which people communicate, and it's about the entire process of exchanging health information. So that includes dialogue, body language, technology, media, and even culture. And this focus on health literacy has been accompanied by the development of federal standards for culturally and linguistically appropriate services. And so that's related to cultural competence and cultural and linguistic competence. And so how do we define that? Well, the U.S. Office of Minority Health defines it as a set of congruent behaviors, attitudes, and policies that come together in a system, agency, or among professionals that enables effective work in cross-cultural situations. So it's very important that cultural and linguistic competence exists in healthcare delivery, and appropriately, cultural and linguistic competence interventions, or CLAS interventions, focus on strengthening the provider's ability to understand and serve their customers, whereas health literacy interventions focus on the consumer or the client's ability to understand and navigate the healthcare system. And so both of these, both health literacy and cultural and linguistic competence, they're implicated in healthcare delivery and in the design and carrying out of cancer prevention programs. But more specifically, why do we need to address this? Well, individuals with low health literacy may receive less adequate healthcare in general, and they're less likely to obtain cancer screening. They're less knowledgeable about this screening, and so, as we know, when that happens, sometimes if the cancer is found, it's found at a later stage and might not be as treatable as if found earlier. And then with regard to the federal standards for culturally and linguistically appropriate services, they require that when you're planning cancer screening outreach, print materials, and during provider-patient interactions, that the providers are able to understand and meet the cultural and linguistic needs of their clients. And so we wanted to know, how are Alaskan providers doing with their awareness of health literacy issues, with their ability to provide culturally and linguistically appropriate services? And we also wanted to know, what are the health literacy needs of Alaskan females? And so we embarked on a pilot study, and we had many objectives. The first was just to provide some baseline data on Alaskan providers and their female clients. We wanted to assess cultural competence and awareness of health literacy, disseminate these findings to the appropriate agencies and community partners. But our ultimate goal was to establish relationships and partnerships within the community, healthcare providers, social service providers, so that we could address any needs together as a collaborative after the pilot study. And so our methods included key informant interviews with the providers, and both providers and participants were volunteer. This was merely a convenience sample. And so providers were contacted through professional contacts, word of mouth, and we conducted these key informant interviews, and we also asked them to suggest ways in which we could best recruit their clients. We also asked that they gave us examples of education materials that they distribute in their clinics or one-on-one with their patients on female cancer topics. And then the participants, we formally assessed health literacy using the newest vital sign, which I'll discuss later, and we also asked their opinions of these print education materials that their providers are giving them. We also did a suitability assessment of these materials. And we have many partners, UAA, Department of Health Sciences, Providence Family Practice Clinic, which has many residents there, Manelik Health Center in Kotzebue, the Alaska Literacy Program, which is a nonprofit community-based organization that provides adult literacy services in the Anchorage area. All community partners were the YWCA, Planned Parenthood, and the State of Alaska Public Health Nursing. So in our interviews with the providers, we wanted to assess cultural competence. And how is that measured? Well, the Commonwealth Fund has a survey, and we adapted their provider survey to include both aspects of health literacy and cultural competence. There were self-administered written surveys for the providers, but we also had a brief structured interview where we asked these providers about their awareness of health literacy and cultural competence and the materials that they deliver in their facilities. So we had a total of 20 providers who participated, and as you can see, it was a diverse group. About half were physicians. We did have some nurse practitioners, nurses, and administrators. Half were from urban areas. Half were federally qualified health centers. And 75% were not aware of tools used to assess health literacy, but also 75% said that the facility does not offer formal training to assist clients with low health literacy. However, most providers said that it was a high priority for them to assess health literacy of their clients. And the majority of providers were very aware of the impact of low health literacy on the ability of clients to obtain healthcare services, to follow through with prescribed treatment, and just to understand basic health information. And the great majority were very aware of the impact of cultural and linguistic barriers on age and life cycle factors, personal medical decisions, responses to health issues, any special needs. And providers indicated many limitations in their ability to deliver health literacy, cultural, and linguistically appropriate services, including funding, facility priorities, time, and the availability of existing and appropriate written materials. Here are some quotes from the providers when we asked them how they felt that culture impacted health communication. As you can see, there are some very interesting comments, and one that I'll read is, providers assume a base level of knowledge that might not be there. It has taken me more than 10 minutes to extract the length of time a patient has felt a specific pain. It started when the salmon were running. The concept of time is very different in diverse cultures. Preventive medicine concept does not exist in some cultures. Many patients see me, but also see another provider, for example, a shaman. I'm not sure if many cultures trust Western medicine. So those are very interesting comments, and they indicate that these providers are very aware. They deal with this every day in talking with their clients with diverse backgrounds, diverse cultures, that the provider's own culture might not be parallel to their client's culture. So going on to the clients, how do we measure health literacy? There are several ways to formally assess this. There's the Realm, the TOFLA, which is available in English and Spanish, but those take a little bit longer. And there's a more recent one called the Newest Vital Sign. And the Newest Vital Sign, it's a rapid assessment tool. It's available in both English and Spanish. It's been validated against the TOFLA. And we chose this from five different candidate scenarios. And I know this is a little bit blurry, but the Newest Vital Sign uses an ice cream nutrition label. And we give this to the participant to look over the nutrition label. And like I said, it's available in both English and Spanish. And then we ask them six questions. And the clients are scored from 0 to 6 based on whether or not they accurately answer the questions. And a score of 4 or higher indicates adequate health literacy. So below a 4 is inadequate or low health literacy. So we interviewed a total of 149 clients, and again, this was a convenient sample, but if you'll notice, this was a highly educated group. over 80% had a high school diploma or higher, and close to 31% actually had a college degree. However, if you notice in the newest vital signs score, again, below a 4 is inadequate health literacy. 40% had inadequate health literacy. So that's quite a lot for an educated population to have that inadequate health literacy, and that really indicates the complexity of health literacy and the multiple factors that are involved in health literacy. It's not just reading and writing or education level. There are other things involved. So during the interviews, we asked clients about their knowledge of cancer screening and practices, and there were many reasons for not receiving cancer screening or not talking with their provider about cancer screening. And so one woman felt safe because she had had a breast reduction, and so she thought she did not need screening. And then some non-American born women indicated that there's no word in their language for menopause, and that women do not usually discuss health with anyone, so it's not necessarily appropriate for women to actively ask questions about their own health or discuss their own health. And many did not know that certain cancers were preventable. And so when we asked these clients how they felt about the print cancer education materials that their providers are giving them, there were some themes that we extracted from their comments. And in general, they really enjoyed the pictures of showing what would happen during a pelvic exam or a mammogram. It helped take the scare out of it, and it helped set their expectations for what would happen while they were one-on-one with their provider. And talking about health issues and viewing print materials prior to the appointments helped really alleviate their fears. However, one thing that we noticed, there were a few comments regarding the pictures that depicted cultural stereotypes that they felt were offensive. And so even when trying to be culturally appropriate or providing those services, we have to be aware that sometimes stereotypes are not necessarily the best thing to use. And so some of the outcomes of our pilot study, well, we did attain one of our major goals, which was to form partnerships. And these partnerships evolved into an Anchorage-based health literacy collaborative. And we're a group that meets monthly, and we have multiple partners, and we continue to work together to increase the gaps between service gaps and cultural misunderstandings. And in May 2007, we provided cancer screening to females that they were clients of the Alaska Literacy Program. We brought, through partnerships through the Providence Cancer Center, we brought a mobile mammography unit called the MammaVan to these clients at the Alaska Literacy Program. We continue to outreach with cancer screening at the Alaska Literacy Program. And this has continued on. There's a new health literacy curriculum, peer educator program, currently under review. We just completed objectives for a community-based grant that the Alaska Literacy Program received in September. And so in the future, we're going to focus on community-based participatory research and intervention, focus on cancer communication, and we're looking at expanding to other issues such as chronic disease self-management, and continue on with our research as it serves as intervention just by increasing awareness among community providers and participants. So again, we'd like to focus on bridging gaps between providers and clients. How can we improve the cultural and linguistic competence of providers? How can we improve the existing materials? And how can we increase cancer screening among at-risk populations, low health literacy, immigrants, refugees, English as a second language? So here I'd like to acknowledge the Alaska Literacy Program, Providence Cancer Center, all of our community partners, among many others. Any questions?
We will hold the question by the end.
Oh, to the end. Yes. Thank you.